Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. And we are so pleased to have you with us. It is Saturday, April 18th, America's Heroes Group Roundtable, National Nurses United. April is Sexual Awareness. April is Sexual Assault Awareness and National Deaf History Month. I'm Cliff Kelly, of course. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer, Manny Corazzari. Our assistant digital media producer, Titus Williams. Today, of course, is something that, these things just go on, and we have to talk about them because people need to know. Our guest that we have on our live line is Adelina Marshall, VA employee since 1991, full-time since 2005, and a mental health RN for over 30 years. And we're going to talk about these problems that are going on. Ms. Marshall, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Appreciate
it's a very important show that is being offered to our community.
It certainly is, and we thank you for taking advantage of giving us your expertise relative to this. It's we got to do something, right?
Right.
Absolutely. So talk to us. Tell us, you've been an employee of the VA since 1991, full-time.
Yes.
Full-time since 2005.
Right.
And you are a mental health RN for
mental
over
RN.
30 years.
For over 30 years, yes.
Wow. You've got, and this, of course, is, talk to us.
So as a, well, let me start off with about the COVID-19 and our preparation in trying to provide the best care possible to our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been at a disadvantage for not having enough PPE, and that's PPE refers to personal protective equipment. So around the country, NNU have been very active in advocating for that equipment for all healthcare personnel, and especially for the RNs, who are the ones that are directly caring for the patients, that are in the rooms with the patients, that are in the emergency room when the patients come in. So without that equipment, many of our health staff has become infected. And if they are, that means they're off of work, and we're already at a shortage of health care providers. For many years, NNU has been advocating for hiring of RNs at the VA because we have had a gross understaffing across the board of health care providers. This now has caught the VA off guard in not having enough staff to provide the care that they need. At the VA I work and many other VAs, they have closed down all the clinics to provide nurses at the bedside. And they are bringing in nurses, and they're offering on site, on the VA hiring site, federal site, upwards of $100 to $125 an hour for nurses to come and work in the VA, where our nurses in the VA are short-staffed, and they have not, many of them now are concerned about their own health care, that tomorrow, should they be infected and they've used their sick time and their vacation time to cover that, how is the Department of Labor now going to treat them as far as worker comp cases? Many of the nurses now are the only ones working in their family, so they're going to have to, you know, carry the support of their family. Many of our nurses are just like regular population. They're confronted with daycare issues. Some of them, daycare, the people who care for their kids are afraid to care for their kids now because they're afraid of being infected because of the nurses' exposure to the COVID-19. Another concern is for our mental health patients who we have closed our extended stay programs, and they're out there and we're trying to meet their needs and make sure that they're safe and that they're getting the medication that they need. We're doing that through telephone visits, and there are still some that are able to come in to the VA to get other treatment that they need. The nurses are forced to reuse masks that we know from science and from our training that we should not be doing that. So
I'm sorry. Forced to reuse what?
Reuse personal protective equipment.
Oh.
So one of it is the N95 mask. I myself, since I'm not doing, on the COVID floors or ICU, we are issued one mask a week. That's 5 days. We have to use the mask. I have resorted, and many other nurses have resorted, to trying to put extra padding in between those masks because of they're not N95. And those N95, for the nurses that are working the COVID-19 units, the ICU units, the ED units, they are have to put their masks in a bag every night. And then the masks are sanitized with ultraviolet light. And so recent studies have shown that perhaps they can do that twice. However, they're being having to use these masks over and over again. So we're not sure if the patient would be cross-infected. Mm-hmm. We're not sure if the nurses and the other staff can be infected from that. So the staff, and this is across the country and many of the hospitals, they're just forced to make do. And they should not be forced to do that.
No, not at all.
We were never allowed to violate any infection control process in the hospital. But now the hospitals are violating those own policies and procedures. These are known standards that is updated very often. And so we're also faced with a moral and ethical dilemma. So the nurses also are stressed, and they're stressed because we love our patients. Our veterans mean everything to us,
mm-hmm.
and we're caring for them at risk of our own lives,
mm-hmm.
and many of them have risked their lives to protect us and to give us the rights that we have, and we celebrate that, and we know how important their service has been to this country. But now, many of our nurses and healthcare professionals are vets themselves. And so even them are being denied the materials that they need to be safe. If they were going into war, they would have the boots, they would have the helmets, they would have the rifles, they would have the uniforms. But we can't even get masks. We can't even get, you know, gowns. We can't get all the things that we need to be able to go and care for our veterans.
What, this is terrible. It really is, Ms. Marshall. First, let me thank you, for what you're doing, you and all the other nurses that putting yourselves in a very bad situation.
It's our honor, and just like the veterans, we'll leave none behind. We will not leave one of them behind.
I know
you. At great risk to ourselves, we are there.
Yeah. Let's take a caller for Ms. Marshall.
right.
Michael O'Connor is with us. Michael?
Hi, good afternoon. How are you,
Hey, Michael. Both? Good, good. How are you, Michael?
Yeah, first I want to commend Ms. Marshall for letting WVON listeners know on your show, Cliff, you continue to be a beacon of light in terms of the darkness that we have around us. I understand, I think probably most of the audience understands what has happened. We know the problem because we're hearing it on radio, we're seeing it on television, but I'd like to know what type of organized the advocacy that the nurses, FARS organization or veterans are doing at this point to publicly make sure that people know what the problem is. And more importantly, because this is obviously public policy coming from the top, because the Veterans Administration is one of the organizations coming from actually the president. What type of outreach is being done to at least black legislators, black congressional legislators, to make sure that they understand that this is a priority where that people should be raising all kind of hell as visible as possible? Or what do they see as a solution that will try to help this situation immediately? Not something down the road, but immediately, because they need help immediately.
Yeah, they really do. Thank you, Michael. Very good point.
So, Michael, National Nurses has taken actions in several of the VA hospitals throughout the country, Atlanta, Augusta, Brooklyn, New York. Those areas have been hit very hard. And even here in Chicago at University of Chicago Hospitals, those nurses have taken action. We have other actions planned throughout the country and pending. Our leadership has been in contact with our congressional parties. We've been lobbying. We've been trying to get them to understand the issues where we are. We don't want to see patients dying in the street, because we don't have enough beds, we don't have enough staff. And even though our governor, which I'm very happy that he's our governor, and also the mayor of Chicago, they're doing a very good job in getting the messages out and opening beds. But if you don't have the staff to man those beds, if the nurses and the doctors become disabled or have to go out due to them being infected, then those beds will mean nothing, because you won't have people to man those beds and to man the respirators. And we have highly skilled nurses that have to go into those areas. I am not one of those nurses. I could be a support personnel, but my specialty is mental health. Those nurses that are in the ICU, that's in the emergency room, that's working those COVID-19 units, are specialties. They are highly skilled in what they do. And the doctors depend on them to let them know the status of the patient. And these patients can turn very quickly. It's a virus that affects your respiratory. And one minute you can be talking, and the next minute we refer to it as crashing. So you have to be sensitive. It's almost like you got a fifth sense that something is going on and be responsive to it right away. Our Congress, our legislators, state, local, national, need to hear this and need to understand what we're confronted with. I don't think some of them do. I think some of them think this will pass. We all know eventually it will. But how many people will be affected? What's going to be the long-term outcome of this infection? And will it turn around and rear its ugly head again? Compact that with the flu season starting in the fall in September and October. So we're grossly understaffed. We're grossly undersupplied. A lot of private sectors are stepping up and doing supplies that the government should be providing to us. There are many groups out there that are trying to get masks and PPE equipment, face shields, all the things that we need. We need testing so we can find out for sure who's infected and who's not. We have many patients that come in that they're presumptive, and they're trying to rule them out as negative, but actually we need to treat them as though they're positive until we do know that they're negative. So therefore, we don't have the face shields, the masks, to protect us during that period of time where they're trying to rule them out.
Wow. You know, when you think about what those patients are doing, it's almost unbelievable, Ms. Marshall, that things have not been better than they are, and what you need to make sure that they're treated correctly.
Yes, we just trained recently for those of us that didn't have a recent experience on the floor so that they can try to put us out there. The training I received is probably less than what a health tech would receive. And one of the things that was very disturbing to me, that they trained us to double bag the patients who have passed, so that if we have to pile them, that they will be piled up on each other. They have to be labeled, and we're double bagging them in anticipation that these bodies will build up. And that's very stressful.
Explain that again. I'm sorry.
Double bagging the dead bodies. So instead of putting them in one body bag, you have to put them in two body bags. And identify them. That's to prepare us in case the bodies start piling up. And we have seen this in New York. We have seen the refrigerator units in New York. And so those of us in the medical field understand how serious this is. When they start talking about double bagging bodies, this is almost like being in a war zone.
That's exactly what I was going to say next.
Yes.
And they're talking about that rather than providing more funding to take care of this problem?
Well, not just funding, but being able to get the products that we need, the face mask, the N95 mask, the shields. If you look at TV, the one piece, we call them bunny suits. They don't have a resource for it. I myself was able to get some masks for some of our membership and also bought gloves at a wholesale food distributor. So if me as a private citizen can find masks, I don't know why our government cannot find it. And when they say that it's for our use, this is for the federal use, well, we are federal employees. Our veterans have been, warriors, but yet they can't find out how to get us what we need to care for them and to remain safe. And actually, if many of them become infected, they will be very dependent on the medical staff, wherever they're taken, to hopefully be able to save their lives.
Elena Marshall, whose fault?
I can't pinpoint that. I just feel that the responsibility starts at the top. Mm-hmm. I know National Nurses United have pointed this out even since the Ebola crisis. As early as September and October, we start challenging our hospitals if they had enough equipment because we did anticipate that the flu season was going to be very challenging and that this equipment would have been needed. So for whatever reason, it could be because we're trying to dismantle the VA, that the supplies they had, that they weren't stored properly. We have had masks that the rubber bands were, the rubber, band to go around your head was, crumbling, that there was a smell in the mask. I have reports of that. So it was either mildewed or moldy. And that was for poor storage, inadequate storage. And when they start trying to do community care for our veterans and push them out into community, now we see that the community is ill-prepared to handle this kind of load.
Mm-hmm.
And then many of our veterans and private citizens will not have an insurance. So we need universal health care for everybody. So this is a time that shows us our weakness. We have to learn from it. We have to build on it. And the public needs to demand that these hospitals are able to care for our citizens of the United States. We're all in this together.
Yes, we are. Well put. I don't understand, Ms. Marshall, why the Congress hadn't taken a point on this.
I am not in a position to say they have or they haven't. They're caught up in the stimulus bill right now. Many other things are going on beyond probably any of our comprehension of what the immediate needs. Every day we see our governor, the mayor of Chicago, the governor of New York, of Michigan, of Minnesota, asking for equipment.
Right.
So I don't know who's in charge in making that happen. We can all assume whose responsibility that is. But I just know now that the nurses and the medical teams need protection. And we don't need to be reusing our masks every day and from patient to patient. If I was working one of those units and went into a room with gowned and the same mask and going to another room to take care of a patient, they would have fired me.
Say that again?
They would have fired me.
No, I mean, say...
Oh, if I had used infection control equipment and go into two different patients' rooms without taking my gloves off, without my mask, without putting on another gown, I would have been fired. But now they expect us to do that. They have lowered the standard of care.
How many people know this? There are people who know it, and you've given us great testimony here on, America's Heroes group today. It's just difficult to believe, Ms. Marshall, that this is just continuing without anyone really stepping up to make sure this does not continue.
It's a travesty, and it may look like it's a wholesale homicide, the way I look at it, because they're leading us into a war without the proper gear.
All right. But this does not have to go on. It could be.
It does not have to go on. The public is going to have to express their outrage. They should email, and which I have done, my representatives, and they need to, put pressure on the highest level of our government to let them understand that we, the people, are going to hold them accountable, and we, the people, are the feds. We are the feds. We are the people of the United States of America.
Yeah.
We are the ones that need these supplies to keep America safe. We don't need a $35 million manual for a presidential airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And $35 million could be used to purchase us the inventory that we need to keep our veterans alive.
Tell our listeners, Ms. Marshall, what should everybody do? Call their congressperson?
Call your congressperson, go online, look at who's on the Veteran Administration, Veteran Administration committees. I do know that Danny Davis is one of them.
Yes, he is.
And I do believe he's working as hard as he can.
Yes, well, he was on earlier today. You're right.
Yes, I do believe that the public need to make all of them understand that this is an outrage. We have been invaded. We have been invaded.
That's a good way of
putting
it.
And we don't have the equipment we need to fight the invader.
Ms. Marshall, great interview, great information. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Wow. Hopefully.
She was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully she'll come back because she's a part of a nursing association of 155,000 members. That's a voice.
We need that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah,
great job, Ms. Marshall. Great job.
Yep, thank you. And that's the voice, of course, Glenda Smith.
Thank you all so very much, as always, every Saturday to our global listening audience for listening. Any questions or concerns regarding America's Heroes Group, regarding affordable housing, social service, wellness, any questions or concerns, please feel free to call 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250, Chicago, Illinois, 60606. As always, we are so always so grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle of the Chicago Crusaders, and our article on on veterans, armed forces, and their family members. It can be viewed online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column with the one and only Governor Talk Radio, Mr. Cliff Kelly, and America's Heroes Group, the article is Voices. America's Heroes Group, please call Chicago Crusaders and our global listening audience, 773-752-2500, or send an email to ads@chicagocrusaders.com and request a subscription. As always, thank you so much to all our global listening Facebook Live audience members. Make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. You are connected and will receive notifications regarding future shows, events, information, resources regarding veterans, armed forces, family members, and our community's partners. Thank you always to Titus Williams, who helped me get organized every Saturday morning, and Miss LaTierra Randall for keeping it all balanced, the two best technical producers at WBON 1690 AM. Thank you all. Have a blessed weekend and be safe.